Sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Not everyone is happy with the just-completed 5-for-5 detainee swap between the U.S. and Iran. The deal calls for the return of billions of dollars to Iran. BBC Persia correspondent Bob Mancalbasi.
There are some Iranian Americans who are very critical of Biden administration for doing this, and they see it as giving too much away to the Iranian regime. But there are others who at the same time argue that bringing these Americans home should have been a priority, and they're glad their ordeal is over.
Iran will be limited in what it can spend the released money on. Automakers and the United Auto Workers are talking, but with no signs of a breakthrough, the union says it is ready to ramp up walkouts.
More negotiations between the United Auto Workers Union and the Big Three as workers picket at three Midwest plants. However, UAW President Sean Fain, in an online video, has announced that the union has set a Friday deadline for the companies to make significant headway on talks, or strikes will begin at even more facilities.
We're going to keep hitting the company where we need to, when we need to.
Workers are demanding from GM, Ford, and Stellantis better pay, pensions, a four-day work week, and more job protections. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
President Biden will address the opening session of the United Nations General Assembly on Tuesday, says CBS's Bo Erickson.
President Biden is expected to underscore the importance of countries working together, including with developing nations in the Southern Hemisphere. Mr. Biden is also set to underscore human rights as Russia's war in Ukraine lingers, and later in the week he'll meet for the third time with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House.
The leaders of Britain, France, and China will not be attending. The L.A. Sheriff's Department has released as arrested a 29-year-old man suspected of shooting and killing Deputy Ryan Klinkenbrumer as he sat in his patrol car Saturday night. CBS's Elise Preston has more.
The outpouring of sorrow has been immense. Klinkenbrumer, who just got engaged, had been with the Sheriff's Department for 8 years. Both his father and grandfather had also served as deputies.
An unprecedented strike by doctors is underway in Britain, says CBS's Vicky Barker at the Foreign Desk in London.
It's the first coordinated strike by doctors at all levels of England's National Health Service, and it's leaving hospitals only able to provide Christmas Day levels of staffing for the next 4 days.
A company in Wisconsin is recalling about 58,000 pounds of ground beef sold in Georgia, Michigan, and Ohio because of possible E. coli contamination. Green Bay dressed beef produced the products in August. This is CBS.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Attention taxpayers, ready for some bad news? With $80 billion in new funding from Congress, the IRS has launched their most aggressive hiring campaign ever to ramp up enforcement. If you're ignoring your taxes, don't delay another minute because your paycheck, your bank account, even your home or business could already be at risk. Now, here's the good news. Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm, can get to work immediately, helping to protect you from the IRS. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, their tax attorneys and licensed professionals are experts at resolving tax problems. Let them help determine if you qualify for the Fresh Start Initiative or other powerful IRS tax assistance programs. Take control. Call Optima Tax Relief now for a free consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's different.
You can choose your mood. You can choose to, you know what? I didn't get much sleep last night, but I'm still going to have a good day, or still going to give it all I can, or be in a good spirit when I do the morning show today.
That's what I do every day with you too.
I was going to say, what, you mean my normal mood of what, mild contempt for everyone around me? Okay, yeah, that's usually what I'm doing. Yeah.
Sarcasm extraordinaire.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis,
you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows level off around 53 overnight under cloudy skies with a chance for scattered rain showers. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. High of 71. Cloudy skies expected. Slight chance for isolated storms tomorrow night. Lows level off around 55. Partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 56.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, here's your host, Kristen Broad.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy Monday. It is my last Monday. My last Monday until, I think, like mid-December is when I'm coming back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
We'll call it that.
It's very morbid at first. It's my last Monday.
Goodbye forever. No, just kidding. But this is the beginning of my last week on As Goes Wisconsin until I hand over the reins and have this baby. But Greg Bach, you're going to be here. You're going to take care of the ship.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be my baby for a while, and we'll take care of it.
And we're also still playing with the ability to do all of our stream yards and our tech and everything like that. So bear with us as we are still figuring that out. But we're very excited. We're very excited to have this be my last week. We have a very good show today that I'm excited about. We rescheduled Tanya Atkinson, who was supposed to be here on Friday, but she is the CEO and president of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin. And today is the big day that as of today, both in Milwaukee and Madison, Planned Parenthood Wisconsin is going to be resuming abortion services at the two clinics, the one on Water Street, the Water Street Health Center in Milwaukee, and the Madison East Health Center in Madison. And so we're going to be talking to her about more of the details of that, what went into that decision, because the lawsuit is not settled. The lawsuit is still happening. And so basically, what does that mean as far as protections for the doctors, protections for people who are seeking abortions? And so we will talk all about that at 10:30 this morning with Tanya Atkinson. And then at 11, loyal listener calls in a fair amount, but first time guest.
Big fan.
We're a big fan of him. Joe McClear, elderly care lawyer who has called in when we've talked about this topic before. He was so knowledgeable since this is what he does for a living.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, why don't we schedule you to come back and actually talk about this at length? And so at 11, we're going to be talking to Joe McClear about the elderly care, long-term care crisis in Wisconsin, and also policy solutions that could be available if we advocate for them mm-hmm. with our lawmakers, but also shy of or the absence of any of those policy changes happening, what you need to know if you yourself are an aging person or, like so many of us, have aging parents and should be broaching these topics with our parents. So that's coming up at 11 with Joe McClear. And then we're going to have Tom Stillback, who is the president of the Wisconsin Tech Council. We're going to talk about some of the events that they have coming up. He wrote a new op-ed that came out this morning as far as how good is it. One of those things is like, how good is Wisconsin for small businesses? And depending on what ranking you're looking at, you get very different answers. So we're going to talk about that. And then as of today, you can vote on the coolest things made in Wisconsin. And some of the things on that list, because the contest is from WMC.
Yeah.
Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. And so they're obviously, it's things like that are made in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And some of them are very cool, but I think it's like, what's their definition of cool? Because some of them are also very functional, but not like boring.
It's functionally cool.
But voting on that starts today. So we're going to talk about that. But what I wanted to start with is this question. Who, when you think of the opioid crisis, who do you blame? 844-967-2789. Who do you blame when it comes to the opioid crisis? Because there's a new poll out. Like, for me, when I answer that question, I think of pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
I think of the Sackler family. I think of doctors who overprescribed. And I don't know if it's because the term opioid, which I think is different than when I think about like what comes to mind when I think of fentanyl. But I saw that there was a new poll out. And shockingly, the Mexican drug cartels is who U.S. adults say is most responsible for the opioid crisis. And
yeah.
That shocked me.
I mean... Were they asking all of my uncles? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense, but the moment they explain it, it does make sense why they would say that.
So, because, and I would love to hear from you, 844-967-2789. When you think of the opioid crisis, which has affected so many people, right? This is not something, this is something that has touched so many families. And I started watching Painkillers last night, or Painkiller last night, which is Netflix's Dope Sick, basically. And I've not watched Dope Sick. I want to go back and watch that because that one was nominated for a bunch of awards. But both are about the Sackler family. Both are about the rise of the opioid epidemic. But we started watching Painkiller last night, and I don't know how much is over dramatized for the sake of the show, but what they are doing is they follow one storyline of the actual Sacklers and their kind of what's the word that I want to use, basically the characterization of them is just profit seeking like money hungry bad people. Then there's one storyline of a young woman who gets caught up in being a pharmaceutical rep for Purdue Pharma and what that's like as far as being going into these doctor's offices and pushing this thing and being a cute young girl and how you're supposed to talk to these doctors. And then there's a story of a guy who got hurt and got addicted and what that looks like and how his stepson then can take the pills and like give them to his friends and how that starts going. But I would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Who do you blame for the opioid crisis? We got Brian on McGuanago on the phone.
Hello.
Hello, Brian. Who do you blame for the opioid crisis when you think of it?
I mean, we got the usual ones, like, of course, the pharmaceuticals and whatnot, but I actually blame Citizens United and the fact that there's money in politics and there's lobbyists that kept paying for this to just continue on. And that's what opened the door for the you know, money to keep flowing in to where they were, you know, paying off doctors to keep writing the prescriptions and also the illicit market to basically proliferate from it at the same time. So I think it comes down to Citizens United and money and politics.
That's interesting. So does it not the pharmaceutical companies?
Oh, I still absolutely blame them. They profited off of that, but they also use that money to keep politicians doing things that they want doing that doesn't help the, you know, the public. It helps their bottom line.
Yeah. When
they don't care.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say the pharmaceutical companies are absolutely responsible and should be blamed for it because they don't care how many lives they ruin or end as long as they make a dollar. That's all that matters to them.
Yeah.
So they don't, as far as I'm concerned, these pharmaceutical companies or these people that run them are no longer human. They don't have an ounce of empathy or caring or compassion in their bodies. And I would say souls, but I don't think they have those anymore.
And so when you think about this, does like the Mexican drug cartels or U.S. drug users or like do any of the foreign entities pop in your mind as people to blame?
Depends. I mean, if anyone's working to profit off of it, then yeah. If there's any type of company or entity that's working to help people, then, you know, and possibly made a not a great product that caused more harm than good. If they stopped doing anything to cause, you know, stopped what they were doing that was causing harm, then sure, I'd be all for it. But it doesn't look like anyone cared about any of the harm they caused because they were just getting rich. They were too busy getting rich.
Got it. Thanks so much for the call, Brian.
Richer.
Richer. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much.
Let's go to Karina from Milwaukee.
Good morning. I think there's three factors, and I'm coming from healthcare, and I worked with a lot of mental health, and obviously doctors and everything like that. And when the healthcare of 1996, we had a grade from a smiley face to the sad face from 1 to 10. And this is how opiates started. It was down to a doctor to say, this is wrong to treat and diagnose person while they are in the scorching pain. So taking care of the pain first. And this is what we did. We're taking care of the pain as the doctors and decrease the pain from 10.7 to 4.5. Then the next step, which is logical step, to do the diagnostics and testing. And when we would start asking for MRIs and biopsies and things like that, we've been told by the insurance companies that the people do not have that much pain, so why do you need such expensive procedures? There is nothing wrong going on. They just have to wait until the pain is going to go away, and here you go. You have an opiate. This is how it started, okay? So now the production of the opiates, actually the opiates who are on the street, which are on the streets, yes, they're coming from the Mexico because it's a border, but who's producing? The producer of the opiates is actually China. Always been from the British time, the British Empire. Yes, it's illegal in China. They cannot use it, but nobody say that they cannot produce it.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, got it. Karina, we got to go to a break, so I got to cut you off. Oh, sorry, Karina. We'll come back on the other side. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Who do you blame for the opioid crisis? I was very surprised by this poll number as far as how many people blame the Mexican drug cartel and not pharmaceutical companies. So we'll keep talking about this after the break. Tanya Atkinson is going to be here at 10:30, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Fire in the Taco Bell. Fire in the Gates of Hell.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. We are, we're 1 week out. 1 week out till baby. Baby BS comes. And so we have a full week of shows. Super excited about it. Full day today. And right now we are talking about, who do you blame for the opioid crisis? Because I saw a poll that really shocked me today that says Americans most often blame Mexican drug cartels for the country's opioid crisis, followed by drug users themselves, according to Morning Consult polling data provided exclusively to Axios. And that's where I got this morning. So in order of this, it was surveyed almost 2,000 people. This was conducted between August 29th and September 1st. At 56%, Americans blame Mexican drug cartels. Then U.S. drug users at 53%, Chinese suppliers of fentanyl or its ingredients, then the Mexican government, then the U.S. government, then the Chinese government, and then pharmaceutical companies. And that just shocked me. And maybe it's because, as I said in the last segment, I just started watching Painkiller, which is the Netflix store version of Sackler and Purdue Pharma, which so squarely points the finger at that company and that family, and then the doctors who overprescribed. But it was so shocking to me that this is the order that, at least in this poll, where people place blame. And I think it's important to talk about because this is something that has affected so many people. So we're asking you, who do you blame for? Who do you blame the opioid crisis on? So let's go to Price in Texas. Price, what do you think?
Hey, good morning. I'll keep her quick. I know you got people waiting. But what you just said about that poll, I'm going to need to see the demographics. So like Greg said, did they just poll my uncles? Because this is just all that poll. I mean, there was top four. Blame the drug cartels, blame the drug users, blame the Mexican government, blame the Chinese government. Like, those are the options. And if they're calling your basic Fox News viewer of someone who's going to pick up a landline, of course, that's what you're going to get, you know? So that's I would need to see the demographics on that poll, because just listening to those responses is just ludicrous. And I'll just get to what I blame the American healthcare system in general, because you don't have proactive steps for pain control. You just have reactive steps for pain control. A lot of times you go to the doctor, this hurts, okay, prescribe this, and it ramps up from there. And you don't get, and also, you know, American drug policy, because there's a whole lot of potential help for painkillers out there that aren't as addictive, but the opiate, and from piggyback what Brian said, piggybacking off of him, yeah, you've got the drug companies and the pharmaceutical companies lobbying Congress to keep all these other possible solutions off the market or even getting tested. So that's all I had. But hey, that whole poll just seems sketch as heck to me, because I just don't, I need to see the demographics on that, because that's all basically something that someone's, like Greg said, someone's angry uncle would respond how they would. Anyway, have a great day, everybody.
Thanks so much for the call, Price. That is true as far as who's picking up the phone for a call, for a poll like this. This is the methodology. This is what was listed as this survey was conducted August 29th to September 1st, among a representative sample of 1,995 registered voters. Results from the full survey have an unweighted margin of error of plus and minus 2 percentage points. And that's at least the information given on the article that I read. But that doesn't give a lot more on what a representative sample actually looks like. But it's a good point. Question your polls.
Absolutely.
Question the methodology. Yeah. Question who funded it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you don't have to totally distrust polls, especially the Marquette poll, which is, we love the Marquette poll. We love Charles Franklin.
Hashtag Marquette poll for life. Yeah, I mean, when Fox puts out a poll, I have a certain amount of doubt. When MSNBC puts out a poll, I have a certain amount of doubt. That's just how it is.
Absolutely. We have a text from John from the Falls.
John from the Falls said, good morning, everyone. I blame the pharmaceutical companies, the corporate lobbyists, and the politicians who sold their souls to these people. Unfortunately, a poll doesn't surprise me. I'm guessing they're polling the same people that would prefer a well-known classified document stealing race. It goes on for a while. Basically, John from the Falls blames who I think you and I put the blame towards. You know, it starts at the pharmaceutical companies, then it goes down to, you know, the lobbyists and all those people who have the actual power. I don't put a lot of blame on Mexican cartels personally.
I don't either. And I think that's why this was so shocking to me. Because, and basically what this is framed at is in the Axios article is how this is potentially an edge for the GOP going into next year, because it's potentially being able to frame this as a security issue.
It's border crisis.
It's border crisis. It's foreign entities. It's things that we need to crack down on, versus what our callers so far have said today is like, actually, it's big. It's capitalism. It's big pharma. It's giving your like unlimited donations to political campaigns, and it's having politicians in your pockets. Like, it's a lot of stuff inside the house. Like, the call is coming from inside the house, and maybe we should work on that before we're just like projecting blame onto foreign entities and just saying, "Oh, well, if we would have just built that wall, this would have never happened." Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and pull a quote from the playbook of the GOP. It is personal responsibility.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's actually a very good point, Greg. Personal responsibility. All right. Well, I think this is really fascinating as far as how people's... It goes kind of back to a lot of things as far as what people's perceptions are. I can't totally recommend painkillers yet because I'm only 2 episodes in.
Yeah.
I'm compelled by the first 2 episodes.
Okay.
But I don't know. I have to cross check and see how fictionalized it is first, and how much I should be like, this is what happened. Instead of it's not a documentary. So all
right. Look out for our podcast.
When we come back, Tanya Atkinson will be here from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. She is the CEO and president. We will talk about their decision to reinstate abortion services as of today. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't.
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Friday. It's the Big Ten opener on the road against Purdue. Our coverage begins at 4 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local. I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. but MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows level off around 53 overnight under cloudy skies with a chance for scattered rain showers. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. High of 71. Cloudy skies expected. Slight chance for isolated storms tomorrow night. Lows level off around 55. Partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 56.
To As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. And it is Monday, September 18th. And we are waiting for Tanya Atkinson to join us, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin CEO and president. Because as of today, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin will resume abortion services in two different clinics. And they announced this last Thursday. Literally, they announced it last Thursday while we were live on air. And we have not had a chance to really break down what that means. And so we're excited to be able to talk to Tanya. But as far as understanding, my questions really surround the legal challenges as because the court case, the lawsuit that was filed, has not been decided on. And if we think about this from the standpoint of what Justice Janet Protasiewicz was a centerpiece of her campaign, us knowing that this lawsuit that had been filed is likely going to end up in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And so far, it actually hasn't even been finally ruled on in the Dane County Court, Circuit Court. But what happened in June was basically, so June 2022, if you remember, Democratic Attorney General Josh Call brought a lawsuit to the Dane County Circuit Court challenging the 1849 law. That lawsuit sought to clarify whether the ban is still in effect and if it contends the abortion restrictions passed since Roe v. Wade superseded that 1849 law. So then the court case still currently is with Dane County Circuit Judge Diane Schlipper. And she issued an order suggesting that she believes The 1849 law applies only to, I actually don't know how to pronounce it, feticide.
I think it's feticide.
Feticide, which is killing a fetus by assaulting and battering. So basically not having the mother's consent. And so when she, so but she hasn't actually ruled yet. That was just issuing an order back in July, early July. So then Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin officials said they recognized that this order isn't the final say, which is expected to be appealed once. This kind of was like a indication, an indicator of where Shipler's going to rule. But then likely once her ruling comes down, that will be appealed and then go to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, where it will be finally finalized. So my question kind of becomes like, what does that mean for legal protections for the providers? For the providers, basically. Yeah. And so it's like, they're obviously have talked to enough of their lawyers that this is going to be, they think that they're covered. They think that they're fully able to provide these resources and these services, but it still feels like a very gray area to me.
When I saw the announcement, I was like, oh, this is fantastic. But my immediate response was like, how are they going to do it?
I mean, just
really going for it and providing the access and the care that that women need. But yeah, just at the end of the day saying, how do we know that they're just not going to bust through the door and start arresting everybody in the room?
And it's also, I mean, this gets into the ability to think about what was also pretty contentious when when Dobbs first came out and Roe first got overturned, is that you had certain district attorneys saying, we're not going to prioritize prosecuting this. And largely that's Dane County and Milwaukee County.
Yeah.
And so there's also that aspect of it. But basically, the laws that existed and the cases that had been ruled on since that 1849 ban, which is ridiculous. Have I ever told you the story of when this first came down and I went to Old World, Wisconsin with Mike because I was doing like they were doing their like new beer. Like, this is how we used to make beer. Going there and I was making a video for the Wisconsin Historical Society. And then we like decided to actually hang out for a while.
Yeah.
And because it was my first time ever going to Old World, Wisconsin. And so we were there, I was on the hunt for, because all of the buildings at Old World, Wisconsin are excavated real buildings that existed. Yeah. And I was looking for a building that was older than this law. And I found one. And it was like a shack. And it was like a little like Norwegian one room farmhouse. And
that makes sense.
So yeah, it was like, this law is old. A lot has happened since then. I think that we have Tanya on the line. Tanya, are you there?
Hold on 1 second.
Okay. And so anyway. That's a big echo. I thought I saw her join, and I'm not.
She looks to have joined. Her mic is muted. Oh,
Tanya, are you there?
Give me 1 second. Okay, here we go.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
Oh, cannot hear her.
Some
of them. There we go.
There we go.
Now we can hear you. Can you hear me? She cannot hear me. Tanya, why don't you call into the show?
Yep. Yeah.
Can you hear Greg?
Can you hear me, Tanya?
Yes.
Okay.
Why don't you give her the number?
Okay. Yep. Tanya, give us a call at 844-967-2827. Sorry.
What was it?
844-967-2789. Give us a call and we'll get you on the phone line right away and we'll get this taken care of.
We're gonna get her on the phone. We'll probably keep her for the next segment.
Yeah.
We'll keep her for both segments because we're just this is so fun.
So fun.
So fun. And so it's just such a fun way to be doing all of this in my last week as far as. But what I was going to say is, before Tanya joined, is that since the 1849 ban happened, there was two court cases that talked about this. In 1985, lawmakers passed a law that said abortion was only a crime after a fetus was viable, meaning there is a reasonable likelihood of sustained survival of the fetus outside the womb with or without artificial support. And that's where we had joined with the 20-week limitation. And then, but also in 1994, the Wisconsin Supreme Court case found that the 1849 law applied only to feticide, the killing of an unborn child, often violently, without the mother's consent. And so we're trying again. Tanya, are you there?
Somebody else is
M&M. All right. I think I can hear you. How are we doing this? Tanya Atkinson, can you hear me?
We're doing this.
Yes.
Great. We got it figured out. Do you love technology, Tanya?
I do love technology, but technology didn't love me today. So
absolutely. It hasn't loved us for a couple days. So we are managing through, though. But I'm so excited to see you. I'm so excited. This was big news. And so I have to imagine the last couple of days for you has been a whirlwind. But as far as kind of talk me through how long this has been in process and what were all the variables that you all considered as you decided to make this decision?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having us. And I'm really excited to see you as well. So, you know, when Roe was overturned, and I did hear you talking about this a little bit, when Roe was overturned, there was a 1849 law that was still on the books, and it was unclear whether or not it was enforceable. And so, you know, we made the incredibly difficult decision to suspend abortion services. And, you know, flash forward, you know, X number of months, you know, we contended all along that, you know, we made a commitment, first of all, to resuming abortion services as soon as we had clarity around the law. And there was two ways that we could have gotten clarity. One is through the legislature or through a legal path. Now, we know the legislature wasn't a path. So the focus was the legal path. When the attorney general filed his lawsuit and then the Dane County Circuit Judge ruled that the law was not enforceable, the 1849 law was not enforceable for voluntary abortions, you know, we immediately continued planning with that in mind. And then there was a second ruling in August where she reaffirmed and was crystal clear that this law wasn't applicable to voluntary abortions. So we kept that momentum going, working with, you know, legal teams and physicians and stakeholders, and then we're able to make the decision to start services today.
And so I guess the big question is, because I think the thing that everyone should know is, no matter what, whether it was before you all made this decision and services were resuming today and going forward, an individual who is seeking an abortion cannot get charged in Wisconsin. That was never part of the deal. This was always whether or not providers could be charged. And so knowing that, and then knowing that there's this, the lawsuit itself is still pending, what protections, I guess, like how are the providers who are going? Because we had Kristen Lyerly, she's on every Thursday. And so she told me she's one of the people who is going to be a provider. And so it's like, what are the legal protections as far as the providers who are now stepping up and going to be the people who are resuming the services? Like, I get like the, what is yeah. the what did what have your lawyers told you as far as like what that coverage looks like?
Yeah, well, I mean, the legal protection is that the judge has been very clear twice now that this is not enforceable. So, you know, that's the legal protection, is okay. That it's not enforceable for voluntary abortions. So that's, the judge could, you know, could not have been more clear. And in reaffirming that, she referenced the Supreme Court case from the 90s. So three times now, it's been very clear that this law is not enforceable. So that's, you know, that's the protection.
Got it. And so what do you think, like, I mean, obviously this is just starting today, but as far as the positive impacts that this is going to have on patients, that this is going to have on staff, I guess that's just the question. What are the positive impacts that you foresee this having?
Well, as you know, abortion is health care, mm-hmm. and the people of Wisconsin will be able to receive abortion in their home state. You know, we've seen what's happened with the barriers that have been put up by having to travel to other states, by patients having to travel to other states, and the barriers are huge, and for some people, they're insurmountable. So so to be able to have this health care in, you know, people's backyard is, you know, is critical to receiving time-sensitive care that that really matters for people's health and lives.
And so one of the things about this, like we said, it's Madison and Milwaukee are the two places where this is getting resumed. That is a huge swath of Wisconsin that is not covered, but it also wasn't covered even before Dobbs. And so as you look forward into this lawsuit as it continues, but also the services as Planned Parenthood can provide, like, what are the other services, initiatives that are happening to continue to try to serve the whole state as we navigate these waters?
Yeah, well, that's an excellent question. So we consider this a first step in both protecting access to abortion care, but also looking forward in the future to expanding access, because you are correct about access across the state. Even before Dobbs, for some people, abortion was very difficult to access with long travel times and with our 24-hour waiting period. So we are looking forward into the future about how to expand access. And I think it's important for people to know that though we're expanding access, we still have to comply with all of those restrictions that were in place before Dobbs. And Wisconsin has got one of the longest lists of abortion restrictions in the entire country. So in order to expand access, we really have to look at, what are ways that we can get rid of some of those restrictions so that we can reach a larger swath of the state.
Absolutely. We have to go to break. Tanya, can you stick around through the break?
Absolutely.
Great. All right. We will be back with Tanya Atkinson, who is the CEO and president of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
I am Kristen Bry. We got Greg back on the board, and we are talking to Tanya Atkinson, who is the Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin CEO and president. And today is a big day because after, what would it be, 14 months, 15 months of suspending abortion care when the Dobbs decision came out in June 2022, as of today, abortion services are resuming in Madison and Milwaukee at their two health centers, at Planned Parenthood's two health centers. Which, for many of us who know how important safe access to care is, this is a huge win. And I have to admit, you know, I am a week and a half away from giving birth, and it has been a weird.
I heard. Congratulations.
Thank you. It has been a weird time to be pregnant in this state, to have a wanted pregnancy in this state, let alone what I can imagine for women who have had unwanted pregnancies, or people who have had unwanted pregnancies over the last 14 months. Because as I asked my doctor at my 10-week check-in back in March, what if something happens? And her answer was, we have a way to get to you to Chicago. And what a terrible response. I mean, not her response, that was the answer, right? But as far as, like, I won't be able to help you as your doctor, but I will find a way to get you help somewhere else. And so to know that we're marching back towards having safe access to care for everyone who needs it, no matter what, how they feel about their pregnancy, to me is a relief. And I can imagine, as someone like you who's dedicated their life to this and to providing care, it is a big win.
Thank you, Kristen. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing that story. And I think what you say really underscores, you know, the scope of you know, the potential restrictions, you know, not just in Wisconsin, but we're seeing across the country. As our, you know, doctors, you know, remind us on a regular basis, abortion is ending a pregnancy for whatever reason that pregnancy needs to be ended. And when, you know, we were forced to make that agonizing decision to suspend care, you know, people were, you know, very concerned about pregnancy, even if people were trying to get pregnant, really concerned about what that would mean, because as you know, pregnancy is extremely complicated. Mm-hmm. And you know, abortion is a part of, you know, pregnancy overall and care, as, you know, ask your doctor, you know, early on in your pregnancy, because you understood that pregnancies are complicated. And so I think that that's, you know, that that is really important to, you know, continue to remind people that that this is not having access is dangerous. I think the other thing, you know, in your story is, you know, potentially how your doctor felt, you know, not being able, you know, if something, you know, were to have happened, being helpless to be able to provide you the care that you needed right in front of them, you know, when you are right there in their office. And we know, you know, from our own physicians and others, having to send people out of state when they have the skill set to do that themselves. And the final thing I would lift up here is that, you know, almost immediately when Roe fell and the question of the 1849 law came up, people who were slated to come to Wisconsin medical schools were withdrawing their applications. Yep. Other students who are already here were questioning whether or not they, you know, they wanted to stay. And, you know, as you know, I mean, I'm also from rural Wisconsin, and, you know, it is really difficult to find OBGYNs, yeah, or physicians at all. And not, of course, just in rural Wisconsin. Access is challenged everywhere when it comes to reproductive health care and, you know, OB-GYN, you know, providers. So this also has the effect of, you know, the chilling effect of people wanting to come to Wisconsin, you know, our incredible state, wanting to come to Wisconsin and be medical practitioners, or staying in their home state and being, you know, being a OBGYN. So lots of really critical things wrapped up in your own personal experience in the story you shared. Thank you.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And I think that is, it touches so many things. It touches so many things as far as healthcare, and it is so personal and it's so nuanced that it's very frustrating to continue to have the fight in Wisconsin, the fight nationally, of people who think they know best and know better than doctors and know better than the people who are trying to make decisions for their own lives. And so I guess my other question is, obviously Planned Parenthood is and has been a leader in safe and accessible care. Do you think that your decision, the Planned Parenthood's decision, not you, Tanya's decision, will empower other providers as far as their feeling as though they also, the law does cover them, and will also, there could be more places that feel like they can also resume abortion care?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. First, I think it's important for people to know that Planned Parenthood Wisconsin receives referrals from other health systems.
Okay.
And as of right now, Planned Parenthood Wisconsin is the only provider of voluntary abortions.
Okay.
So, and all that said, you know, there are other incredible healthcare systems in the state, and we're really grateful for their partnership. They do provide care, as you know, in all the circumstances. Now, they also, as far as we know, have suspended their services, except for that very, very narrow exception. And so I can't really say at this time whether or not, you know, what that means for the other health systems. I can say that, you know, we have some great partnerships with the health systems, and you know, they'll continue to be partners but I definitely cannot speak to whether or not they're going to start providing care again.
Absolutely. And then the final reminder, with we only have about a minute left, but because I will always think it's very important for everyone to know that Planned Parenthood has a wide variety of services that they offer. And so a quick plug for all the different things that people can go to Planned Parenthood for through the last 14 months going forward, as far as what people can rely on their local center for.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going to first say, please go to www.ppwi.org, and you can find a list of all the services there. We have 22 health centers across the state, and we provide a very wide scope of reproductive and sexual health care services. Of course, birth control, STD testing and treatment, and a couple that I want to lift up is cancer screening, prevention, intervention, and gender-affirming hormone therapy. And we have most of our services are also available via telehealth, and for people who are contracepting, they can get it delivered right to their door for almost every single method.
Amazing. And under the time limit, Tanya Atkinson, you are amazing. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by